Well, let's turn to God's Word, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll read from verse 25 to the end. Well, let's hear God's Word. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's God's holy word. I want us this morning to be all encouraged. We're standing at the door of a new year and we have no idea what's going to happen. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. So my heading this morning is, my tomorrow is secure. My tomorrow is secured. We've just been singing there, God holds the key to all unknown. So that's why I chose this heading. If he holds the key to all unknown, then surely my unknown is secure. And that's what I want us to think about this morning as we enter into the new year, because none of us know what's going to happen. How many of us is going to be standing here or sitting here next year at this time? We don't know. My prayer is that there would be more, that people from the vicinity would come in and hear this good news. So my tomorrow is secured. Paul was on his way to an unknown future. In Acts chapter 25 and verse 11, it says, for if I be offender, being tried here, Paul, for if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of those things whereof they accuse me, no man may deliver me into them. I appeal unto Caesar. Now, he had been accused. We'll see that in Acts chapter 22 and verse 28. This is the accusation. The people were crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks into the temple and have polluted this holy place. So he's been charged with false charges. And to save himself, in one sense, he's appealed to Caesar. So he's been going to be sent to Rome. He doesn't know what's going to happen when he goes there, whether Caesar will let him off, or whether Caesar will put him to death. He doesn't know, it's an unknown future. But on his way, he has this confidence in a known future. For God stood with him when no one else stood with him. And I think this is our encouragement today. We have an unknown future. We don't know what's going to happen in the coming year, but we have confidence in a known future. And that's that God is building his church. I was thinking about Moses in Exodus chapter 14 and 10, when they were coming out of Egypt and they were enclosed with the sea and the mountains, and they had the army at their back. And Moses said to the people, "Stand still," because it was unknown, fear of the unknown. Exodus chapter 14 verse 10 tells us there that the people feared because they saw the army at the back. And it's better that we should have stopped here. "Moses, why have you brought us out?" And this is going to be a continual cry. When there's no water, when there's no food, we should have left us in Egypt where we had the cucumbers. So it was fear of the unknown. And Moses said, "Stand still." And when he said stand still, he was telling them, remember. Remember what God has done. Remember the 10 miracles. Remember what happened to the first child of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Remember. And when Moses said to them, "Stand still and remember, think." And that's what we need to do. We need to stand still. We need to remember what God has done for us in this past year. Why are you here? Because God has kept you for the year. So Moses said, "Stand still and remember." Paul in Acts chapter 28 and 15. "And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, which when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." This is when he was on his way. He was near Rome. He was coming to enter Rome. And yet he took courage. And why did he take courage? Because of the other Christians. And can we not take courage of other churches? Churches are being built. And it should encourage us that God remembers. Because God has promised to build his church. And Paul took courage. So Moses, because the people feared the unknown, and we don't know what's going to happen here in this church in the coming year. But God knows. It's not our church. It's God's church. And God said he will build his church. And God said he will keep his church because the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's not only building his church, but he's keeping his church. And that's why we're here after a year. When the minister retired, we had all feared, what's going to happen now? Who's going to take charge? What are we going to do? And here we are after, what is it, 4 years? We're still here. We still have meetings every Sunday. We still have meetings every Thursday. Why? Because God is building his church and keeping it. I have no fear for this church whatsoever. Because I know that God, if we do our part, as it were, then God will reward us. God will help us to keep this place open. That's our desire, is to keep this place open, that there might be a light in Market Street. The light has gone out on the bridge. It will never be lit again unless God should intervene. But Moses said, stand still and remember. Think what God has done for us in this past year. But Paul, he had confidence in the unknown. And he says, thank you. And he says, and his thank you is, go forward. And that's our intention. We intend to go forward into the new year. That's why I gave out the notices. I didn't say that we hope that these meetings take place. We say these meetings will take place, God willing. Paul thanked God and took courage. And as a church, this places us in two times. Thankfulness places us in the past. We're given thanks for the past. And it also gives us confidence for the future. Paul didn't know what he was going into. It was an unknown future, but he had confidence in his God, because when he was being tried in front of the kings, he said, everyone deserted me, but God stood with me. And if God stood with me there, he will stand with me in front of Caesar. And we must remember the past. Our anniversary was not long ago. And this place is still standing. It's still open. I don't know how many ministers they've had down through the years, but God has been faithful. And he has always provided someone to speak to us. And then there's the future. We don't know what the future is. But God holds the key to all unknown. He holds the key to the future. And we should move forward with confidence, knowing that this is God's church. This is God's place of worship. This is God's people. And God will not forget us. Exodus 33. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 20. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not. This is when Solomon was about to build the temple on his own without his father. Nor be dismayed, for the Lord, even my God, will be with you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of God. God will not forsake us, he will not leave us, until we finish the work that he has brought here for Hailsham Baptist Church to complete. Hailsham Baptist Church has a completion day, when everything will be accomplished that God has given us to do. And our prayer is, it will be here when Christ comes back again. Yes, there will be faith in this world when Christ comes back again. Because the Bible tells us that those who are left shall be changed and taken up. The church will never die. Because it's God's bride. Our presence here is the testimony of the past. Our presence here is a testimony of the past. We are here because of the past. God has been faithful. Our presence here today is our confidence of the future. And I've just read that in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. When David crowned his son king and he told him build the temple. I wanted to build the temple. I've got all the materials. I've got all the gold and silver. I've got all the materials to build it. But God said, you can't build it because you're a bloody man. There's blood on your hands. And Solomon said, I'm only a child. How can I build it? And this is the encouragement that David said to Solomon. Be strong and of good courage and do not fear, nor be dismayed, for the Lord, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not let you down. He will not forsake you. He will not turn his back on you until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of God. What an encouragement for Solomon that he's going to finish it. It doesn't say here, he'll be with you until you try to finish it, until you finish it. And that's our encouragement. Jesus said, I'm going to build the church. It will be built. The same as David said to his son, it will be built. And God will be with you to make sure that it's built. And God is in the church today, where two or three are gathered together. There he is in the midst. Only because God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. He's with his people here. He's with his people in other churches all around the world. Even the persecuted church, God is with them. And Satan will not destroy the church. This is our confidence. This is my confidence for moving into the new year. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know what's going to happen to my wife. I don't know what's going to happen to the church. But I move forward with confidence that God knows all things. I just said, I think it was in my prayer, that God said to Jeremiah, before you were in the womb, I knew you. If he knew Jeremiah before he was born, before he was conceived, while he was still in his ancestors' loins, as it were, then there's nothing for us to be concerned about, because God knew Hailsham Church before it was built. He knew the people that were going to build it before they were born. In eternity, this whole creation was thought up of in God, and he had it before him. If you can't understand how God could have everything before him in eternity, think about when he spoke to Moses, when he took Moses up for 40 days. And he said, I want you to build everything that has been shown you. It wasn't built. The tabernacle hadn't been built. But God had shown Moses the tabernacle and everything that concerned the tabernacle before it was built. There's your confidence. God knows what he's doing. Well, we can move forward as a church. We can move forward as a family. We can move forward as individuals, knowing that God knows. God is sovereign. God has a purpose that will be fulfilled. And that fulfilled purpose is that Jesus Christ, one day, as it tells us in Revelation chapter 19, that he will sit down with his bride. His bride is being made ready at this very moment. And one day when Christ comes back again, his bride will be prepared. And it tells us there in Revelation chapter 19 concerning the marriage feast. Wonderful. I have no concern whatsoever concerning this church, because it's God's church. And he will take care of it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it tells me all our tomorrows are secure in him. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You notice in Philippians chapter 4, it tells us there that God will supply all our need. And what does Jesus say here in chapter 6, verse 32? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. They want all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. The same word. Paul had experienced what Jesus had said. That's why Paul could say with experience, my God will supply all your need. And Jesus says here, God knows what we need. And he will supply that need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We have no concern. No concern because it's God's church. A young child has no concern about things of the day because it has its mother and father. I'm not talking about every family. I'm talking about a family where there's a mother and a father and the children are loved. But the children don't have any concern about next week or next month or next year because they know that their father or their mother will supply all their needs and take care of them. He'll clothe them, he'll feed them, and give them all that they need. And it's the same with our Heavenly Father. He knows what we need. We know what we want, but he knows what we need. And the great need in this world today is faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you don't have faith, then you're not a friend of God. But that faith is available. Jesus says, come unto me. Jesus said in another place, ask and you shall receive. Our tomorrows is secured in him. When it says here, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, we must be sure of what we are looking for. What are we looking for as individuals? What are we looking for as a family? What are we looking for as a church? We can fill this church, no problem. It's quite easy to fill a church. We just need the right band. We just need the right choruses. We just need the right speaker, as it were, who will tickle your ears. It's quite easy to fill a church. Many of the churches in Britain today are full to capacity. But is the gospel being preached? Are people being saved? In one sense, we shouldn't be going out of church happy and joyous. We should be going out broken-hearted because we've sinned against God. But in the midst of that is the joy in the heart. Jesus said, I give you the joy. So we have that joy. It's the gospel. We need to be sure of what we're looking for, and we must be sure of what we're looking for is according to God's will. John chapter 14 and verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But he's only going to do it on the condition that you glorify the Father. It's not for our own sakes. I would love to see a full church. Sinners coming in, wanting to hear the word of God. Always crying out, what must I do to be saved? We want that. But we don't want it with the means of the world. We don't want to invite the world into the church. We want to invite people into the church, but not their ways into the church. I'm glad that this is a Reformed Baptist church. I'm so glad that it was when it was formed, and it still is today. We hold to the grace of God. We hold to the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that would believe. We hold to that firmly. We will not give it away. We will not stop preaching the gospel at the cost of souls. We must be sure of what we are looking for is according to the Lord's will. Jesus said, and he continues to say, in Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, there is a door of opportunity. He says there in Revelation chapter 3, I've set before you an open door. That open door is a door of opportunity. That's why we open up on a Sunday, and that's why we open up on a Thursday. It's a day, a door of opportunity. We invite people to come in. At Five Ashdown, it's not a very big village. There's not many people going to the church. There's only three or four of them. But the bloke, I forget his name now. That's the trouble of getting old, you forget names. But he has went round the whole of the village with 500 invitations, Christmas invitations, and not one has been fulfilled. There's the door of opportunity. But Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, there's the door of confusion. Jesus is standing at the door. Now he's not standing at the door of someone's heart, as some people seem to think. He's talking to the church. He's standing at the church. He's standing at the door. He's outside the door. What does this tell us? That the church is still meeting, but Christ is not there. And how many churches today, Christ is not there. He's not preached. And it tells us there in Revelation, he said, I'm standing outside. It's not that with a lantern, and there's weeds outside the door, and there's no handle on the door, and he can't open the door. This is a picture of a weak Christ. Our Christ is sovereign. He's strong. He never forces himself on anyone. He knocks. And those inside thought Christ was there, but he wasn't there. But Christ is here. We want Christ to be in our midst. Time's going. Let me just mention some people who stood at a door. There's quite a few of them in the Bible. People standing at a door, and talks about their situation. The first one is Cain. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7, the Lord said to Cain that sin is at the door. Now Cain's situation was this, it was a door of decision. God was saying to Cain, what are you going to do? Sin's at the door, are you going to let him in or are you not? It was a door of decision. And Cain opened the door and let him in. The next one that stood at a door was Noah. Noah stood at the door, Genesis chapter 6 and 16. When the Lord told him to build an ark and build on the side of it a door. And then in chapter 8 verse 13, the Lord said, come out or go out. So Noah was standing at the door. And what was his situation? It was a new world. The dove came back with a new olive leaf. Everything had been destroyed with a flood for over a year. And yet when he opened that door and the water had receded, it was as if it were a new world. And he stood at the door and he came out, and the first thing he'd done was he got all the clean animals and he built an altar and he gave thanks to the Lord. the door of the new world. And when we get saved, we are at the door of a new world because we're a new creation. I'm a new creation. And the day that I was saved, I was standing at the door of a new world. A world that belongs to God, to Christ. And then the next one that stood at the door was Sarah. Remember Sarah in Genesis chapter 18 verse 10. Sarah stood at the tent door. And the Lord and the two angels were there. And the Lord said to Abraham, you're going to have a son. And Sarah laughed. It was a door of miracles. 90 year old. Who's ever heard of a 90-year-old woman giving birth to a son? And yet she laughed. And the Lord said, I hear you. And for her it was a door of miracles. Miracles that were going to happen. A year later, when he was 100 years old, a child was born. And through that marriage there, created was a new country, if I could put it that way, the Jewish country. And then the next one to stand at a door was Lot. Genesis chapter 19 verse 6, when the two angels came and they stopped the night with Lot and all the vile men, homosexuals they were, come to the door and wanted to have the two angels to come out, that they would have their way with them. And Lot stood at the door. It was a door of wickedness. And the angels had to pull him in. A door of wickedness. And then the next one that I've come across was the servant. In the year of Jubilee, when the servant could go free. And the servant said, I don't want to go free. I love my master. I don't want to go free. I want to be with my master for the rest of my life. And what did they do? They took him to the door and they pierced his ear with an awl. Have you had your ear pierced? Spiritually? Have you had the idea, oh, I could be free? But you say to yourself, I don't want to be free. Christ is my master and I want to serve him for the rest of my life. The servant stood at the door. It was a door of commitment. Master, I've committed myself to you for the rest of my life. And then there was a door in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 10, when the wise virgins, when the bridegroom came and they weren't ready, only the five of them were ready. And when the other five went away to buy oil, they went in. They were at the door with the Lord Jesus Christ. They went in with the bridegroom and the door was shut. And when the other virgins come back and knocked at the door, he never even opened it. He never even answered them. That was the door of safety. If you're in Christ this morning, then you're safe. Safe for the rest of your life. Safe for all eternity. And the last one, James chapter 5 and verse 9, tells us there that the judge is standing at the door. It's a door of condemnation. Jesus says, and he continues to say from John chapter 10 verse 9, I am the door. He who enters in by me shall go in and out and find pasture. There's all these doors in the Bible, and it all tells you about different situations of the people who stood at the door. But there's only one door that's open at the moment. Some of them were closed. But there's one door that is still open at the moment, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, I am the door. So what we need, two things to do. We need to stand still and we need to reflect the past. Ask yourself, why are you here today? Why aren't you like so many in the world today who have gone into a lost eternity? Or not a lost eternity, but a living eternity. Reflect. When you go home today, reflect on the past. You've had some bad times, I've had some bad times, but I'm here today because of God's faithfulness and His goodness. So we need to stand still. And as the Lord said to Moses, go forward. Never mind about the sea. The sea can be stopped. Never mind about the river. The river can be blocked. Experience the future. So stand still. But then go forward. And enjoy the confidence that Christ gives His people today. Let's pray.